Here I am at the Peacemakers Museum in Londonderry, West Britain. It's very much from a nationalist perspective. One would expect that, even Republican's perspective. So you look at this, for example. And then it says, boy looks hauntingly at the camera as the British Army invade Cregan area of Derry during Operation Motorman. So you see the pejorative language, invasion. So it can't be an invasion since Derry is British. Northern Ireland's part of the United Kingdom. People here are British, even if some of them were in denial about it. And you see this soldier here, he's black, one of the only black people in Derry at the time. And indeed, Republican newspapers often used racist epithets for soldiers. Here we are, Operation Motorman, okay, July 1972. So, because about 3.5 years earlier, the bauxite of Derry had more or less broken away from the government's control and set up these barriers so the police couldn't be enforcing the law and protecting the public. But of course, there are some bad members of the Royal Ulster Constabulary, the police. Shockingly, Sammy Devaney, an old man, was severely beaten by RUC officers and died. So it seems a world away, you know, half a century ago, what was going on, the conflict here. And then a map of the city, of the city side, as into the west of the River Foyle, the Fountain area, which was a loyalist enclave, the purple wall city of Derry, or the diamond, the bog side, and it really was marshy land, Brandywell, Cregan, and so on. So St. Eugene's Cathedral, that's a Catholic one. St. Columb's obviously was Catholic, then sequestrated by the Church of Ireland in the 1530s. Okay, it's got glossary of terms, and again, say, nationalist misinterpretation. Here it's got a Martin McGuinness, a terrorist who never calls him that, obviously terrorised his home city, but he had plenty of supporters. Anyone who tried to help law enforcement would be abducted, tortured and murdered by him. Indeed, he lured people back, telling them they were forgiven, and they met that gruesome fate. John Hume, an honourable man with whom I don't completely agree, Nobel Prize Peace Laureate. And there he is, who died a few years ago. Pity he didn't become president. The Irish Republic, Mitchell McLaughlin, also Sinn Féin. Apparently they call him draft dodger because he was never in the IRA. What I hadn't realised is he lived in Zambia then, the quondam British colony, and so it goes on. But it's informative. It's got some, lots of fascinating, what are they called, artefacts. And so look, these guys attempting to murder police officers and soldiers, Molotov cocktails, complaining about the army using using rubber bullets. Well, the IRA didn't use rubber bullets, they used real ones. So the security forces attacked almost every single day with attempted murder, and they're using very restrained force. But obviously sometimes they went too far, because they could have said, this person is an imminent threat to my life or those of others, so I'm going to kill this person. Yeah, and the people, those with the heaviest weapons kill the fewest people, the security forces. So of the 3,500 people who killed in the conflict, no recognition, about 60% of them killed by Republicans, only about 10% killed by the security forces. So Catholic civilians murdered by the IRA and ILA, far more of them killed by the IRA and ILA than were killed by the security forces. No recognition of that. So the security forces were keeping people safe, protecting people, but it's because there was this conflict in a very densely populated area. Unfortunately, civilians occasionally got killed by the security forces. And if they were deliberately killed, then obviously that's murder. So look at this. The most shameful British criminal of modern times. There he is. Martin McGuinness. His middle name was Pacelli, as in honour of Pius XII. But obviously the Catholic Church denounced his organisation's crimes. So it was a drug-dealing gang as well as everything else. So yes, a criminal gang with a few ideological slogans. And some people genuinely believed in the ideology. But the gangsters can be genuinely popular. There's that Kinahan, that drug baron in Dublin, almost got elected to Dáil Éireann. And so we go on, just like the loyalist gangsters, they had some genuine popularity. So Bernadette Devlin, I read her autobiography, The Price of My Soul. Bernadette McCluskey, as she became, and she gave birth whilst unwed, which in those days is very controversial. So there's John Hume again with Edward Tip O'Neill, the American politician, the Democratic Party. There it goes on. So the very fact that an openly pro-terrorist party took part in these elections shows how fair they were. Okay, even they said that the ballot box were never stuffed. There were no bogus votes, or their votes were not discounted. Even they were allowed to contest it. You know, when the Troubles broke out in 1969, you've got to remember, of the, say, 170 independent countries in the world, only about 30 were democracies. Even Western European countries were dictatorships, even France, so not France, or even Spain, even Portugal, even Greece. So people were very, very lucky to live in Northern Ireland, in the United Kingdom, one of the freest places in the world. No, it wasn't perfect. People complained about the way electoral districts were drawn. People claimed it was gerrymandering and so on. I mean, if you really think that's somehow justificatory of murder, you must demand the murder of the Republican Party in Texas, because they're drawing electoral boundaries in a way to maximize party advantage. The United States, indeed the country that invented gerrymandering, named after Elbridge Gerry, formerly vice president, and indeed the governor of Massachusetts, packing and cracking, as in stuffing as many of your opponent's supporters into one electoral district, and then distributing your own vote as efficiently as possible, so you get more a representation on the first-past-the-post system. Nelba Cafferty. So here she is, a notorious advocate for the mass murder of little children. Unsurprising to see her honoured here. Anyway, so, and there is Martin McGuinness, Ardesh, is in conference. So the ones who supported the Irish language couldn't speak it usually. I was one of the few unionists who was a regular reader of their newspaper, and only one page of it would be in Irish. So if it was that important, they'd speak it all the time. Republic of Ireland, we've had over a century to bring back the Irish language, and it's not happened. Oh, look at that, from one of those vehicles. Is that it? Oh, the Sangars, the little army towers. So, what else was I going to say? Yeah, so the Undertones, one of the few really marvellous things to come out of Derry in the 70s. This band, Teenage Kicks Are Hard to Beat, and all the rest of it. And here he is, one of the most detestable British criminals of modern times, kidnapper, torturer, and so on. So I'm elated. He died, and he was defeated. He failed. He's an oppressor. Freedom won, and he lost. So it's a pity there's not a hell for him to go to. And it is true, towards the end of his life, he did do a little bit of good. But that's like the old Hitler-built motorways thing. He told people to turn away from violence. You know, so 1974, Sunningdale Agreement. People say, oh, well, that's not like the Good Friday Agreement, but, you know, nationalists take the advances from Sunningdale and look forward another 24 years. What could have happened through politics, through demonstrations, through elections and so on? Anne Fablecht, that was really the IRA's house journal. I used to read it very regularly. And there's John Hume, leader of the Social Democratic and Labour Party. So, and his deputy leader, Seamus Mallon, didn't always agree, were neutral in the conflict. And then Breed Rogers, who later became leader. She's the first woman to lead any political party in Northern Ireland. And so it goes on. There's Nelson Rolihlahla Mandela. Obviously, Sinn Féin liked to pretend that the situation here was in some way analogous to what was going on in South Africa, when it was nothing remotely even approaching it. There was no apartheid or anything at all resembling it in Northern Ireland ever. And another point is, the majority of people in Northern Ireland wanted to stay part of the United Kingdom. The Republic of Ireland recognised it. You know, there was the treaty signed in 1921 by an exclusively Sinn Féin delegation, which recognised Northern Ireland as part of the UK, and ratified by Dáil Éireann, again, with every single member of which was a Sinn Féiner, signed by the chief of the IRA, Michael Collins, and. Even Republic of Ireland, or Irish state, was offered Northern Ireland twice publicly in the Second World War, said no. 1925 offered some of it and refused. You see, political prisoners. There was never a single one. They were not there for their political views. And they're not hostages, obviously. Nobody thought they were going to be killed, and so on. So, because the security forces had won, the army didn't need to be in Northern Ireland in huge numbers. Always still here, because it's the UK. And so we go on. Ian Paisley, loudmouth, bigot, and, you know, self-defeating, really. 1969, unionists had basically everything they wanted. But he made it worse. And unfortunately, then he became this cardboard cutout villain and really gave his cause a bad name. And so we go on. And he was obviously behind the times with his religious fundamentalism. So he eventually went into government with his former nemesis, Martin McGuinness, who tried to murder him. I mean, Ian Paisley was bad, made some incendiary rhetoric, but, you know, he wasn't a terrorist, but some of his supporters Do you get into sectarianism, which is, of course, detestable? And British political policing. Is policing political? I'm not sure. Well, the IRA used to abduct people, torture them, and call that policing, mutilate them. So the Savile Report, which I haven't read, actually, and concluding that on Bloody Sunday, those people were unlawfully killed by the parachute regiment. Someone's going to be prosecuted very soon, actually. Okay, so John Hume, who unfortunately died some years ago, how I wish I'd met him. And there he is. Well, joy to the world. The world became a cleaner place that day.